You're tuned into the Kojo Namdi Show. I am not Kojo. I'm Brendan Greeley, sitting in for Kojo. He is on vacation today. We are talking about grade tampering in Prince George's County, moldy classrooms in Howard County, schools without heat in Baltimore City. We are talking about schools and the problems in them and how best to fix them. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan has called for a new office, an investigator general that will look into complaints in local school systems. Is there a crisis of confidence in some Maryland public school systems? And is the investigator general the solution? With me in the studio is Aurelis Hernandez. She covers Prince George's County for the Washington Post. So let's start from scratch here. What is the problem in the Prince George's County schools that prompted the announcement by the governor that he wants an inspector general?
Well, this dates back to, I guess, last spring or so. There were accusations from a minority block of the Board of Education of Prince George's that basically alleged that there was widespread grade tampering, or there were grade changes taking place and students were graduating without having actually met requirements of graduation. And so they sent a letter to the governor. The governor acted upon it. In some ways, the state legislator also acted upon it and supported that. And they got this firm who did this 6 or 7 week investigation and found that, yeah, there was evidence of late term grade changes that led to a number of students being graduating without having met those requirements.
So this is tampering to meet standards set by the state for graduation rates.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, let's zoom out here and then look at the entire state. I should say here, by the way, that we did actually put a call into the governor's office. They declined to have someone talk about this. But now we have the possibility, announced on January 8th, of an inspector general. And it seems like there's a grab bag of problems here. You have the what you were just talking about in Prince George's County. You have burst pipes in Baltimore City schools. You have mold in schools in Howard County, which is otherwise a pretty good school system. How are we to understand this announcement? Is an inspector general the right way to go after this?
Well, I think the governor, I mean, it is an election year, but the governor is pointing to what I guess he sees as a lack of oversight and accountability by the State Board of Education, by state officials who have those authorities. The State Board of Education doesn't have investigative authorities, in my understanding, and so and someone can correct me if I'm wrong. So going in and doing sort of granular level or school system level investigations about corruption or misappropriation, that type of thing, nothing like that seems to exist. And so I guess he's bringing in this idea because he doesn't think there's anyone doing the job right now.
And every federal agency has to have one of these. We're familiar with reading the IG report because about any agency, because it's often full of more eye-opening detail than anything the agency will put out about itself. So there's precedent for this at the federal level.
Right. And there's lawmakers. And there's several levels of accountability that can come. And I'm guessing he's calling out Democratic legislators to some degree who have abdicated on that responsibility in his view.
So the broader question we're looking at is whether a school system, through the normal democratic process, through the state, the county legislators, is capable of policing itself.
Essentially, yes.
Well, I'm going to bring in someone here. Delegate Angela Angel is a Democrat. She represents District 25 in Prince George's County in Annapolis. She's in session now. We have her on the line. Delegate Angel, you represent Prince George's County in the House of Delegates. You also have kids in the Prince George's County schools. From your perspective, are the schools in your county, is the solution, is what they need an inspector general?
I have not seen the actual legislation or the outline of what this an inspector general would be, who would authorize it, and who they would report to. But I believe that we are working on our school system, and we are applying and asking for layers of accountability, as well as actions on the findings of the audit, and that we are in the process of repairing the issues that we're having. So I'm hesitant to think that an additional outside entity would help the situation at this point in time. You know, that being said, we, of course, you know, I have the report. We've looked at the report, and actually CEO Dr. Maxwell will be here before our delegation today at 4 answering some of our questions on this issue, as well as some of the other issues that we're addressing for the General Assembly. So we definitely recognize that there are problems. My children are in our school systems, I believe, in Prince George's County Public Schools, but we're working to make sure that they're meeting the needs of all of our students.
Angela, I'm bringing Aurelis Hernandez. She covers Prince George's County for the Washington Post. Aurelis?
Hey there, Delegate. I have a question for you. So I don't know if it was last session or the year before that Delegate Alonzo Washington put forth something similar, but at the Prince George's level, calling for an inspector general, someone who would have investigatory powers to look into things within the school system. That legislation did not end up going anywhere. Can you take us into the conversations around that were and why ultimately that legislation failed?
Sure. Well, when the previous legislation was introduced by Delegate Washington, it was a different makeup, I believe. And now we actually have an education committee. That legislation is back this year. It's actually PG 50818. And it would call for an Office of Inspector General for Prince George's County Public School. That particular person would be appointed by the county council and would have an independent function. They would report to the county council and would also have, a certain amount of transparency. Their reports would be public, as well as being able to hold hearings. And we're looking at that for the 2018 session and looking at this legislation and having some conversations on how, if it's possible to implement this or something similar to it. So we are having those conversations currently in the legislature.
I should say we want to hear from you as well out there. Are you a teacher in Maryland or in Prince George's County even? Are you a parent with kids in the school systems here? Should we have an investigator general at the state level? And if so, what should that investigator focus on? Delegate, I should say one issue here is that Aurelis and I were talking earlier before the show started. It does feel like there's kind of a grab bag of issues county by county. The issues in Howard County don't seem to be really the same issues as the one in Prince George's County. I've got kids in Anne Arundel County schools. They seem to have different issues as well. Do you feel like with this announcement from the governor, like Prince George's County is being singled out?
Well, and so there's a couple of things that the governor said. And so then when we look at them as a whole, at one point in time, he said, he was looking and targeting our schools directly. And then I think in some of his recent statements, he spoke about Baltimore County. He spoke about Baltimore City. And saying that there may be something that's created that looks at all of the different jurisdictions. Of course, as you stated, currently, the jurisdictions have a certain level of autonomy because they're self-regulating with both the council, their state, delegation, as well as then the actual elected or appointed board members all kind of making, regulating themselves and checking upon themselves. So I think we're having conversations in the General Assembly about how do we create accountability for grades. And like you said, for everything, from facilities to grades to, making sure that the money is distributed and appropriately. And I think it's, like you said, it's difficult to create a one-size-fits-all because we all have different issues. And so we in Prince George's are looking at what can we do to address the situation and the issues that we're facing in our county. And I would trust for our neighboring counties who are, in fact, doing similar things and would trust at this moment to allow the systems that are in place to try and improve upon themselves before we layer upon them or attack them for what's happening.
I wonder where else Hernandez answer this as well in a second, but Delegate, I'm going to throw this to you first. We keep hearing the word accountability, and no matter what school system you're talking about, if you're talking about national education policy at the state level, at the county level, within counties, there's always this tension between accountability and funding. Do we focus too much on the accountability part of this? What is the funding solution in Prince George's County?
I think you can't have one without the other because and one of the reasons why I think we talk about accountability is because, Prince George's County Public Schools is the largest section of the county budget. We spend a lot of money there. And our parents know that, anyone that pays attention to the county budget cycle knows that. And so what they want is that accountability. Where are our dollars going to? And at the end of the day, making sure that they're going to the students and meeting the students' needs. So it's hard to divorce accountability from funding because funding without accountability is waste, really, you know, at the end of the day. And so I think that's why it's something that you're constantly hearing. And there's also, of course, a reasonable concern from the public that they want to know that the money is being spent where it's supposed to be spent and that it's going to what it's supposed to, which is the needs of the student.
Well, we want to hear from you as well out there. You know, if your children are in Prince George's or Maryland public schools, if you want to talk about the conflict or the compromise between accountability and funding, we just heard from Delegate Angela Angel, you know, that you cannot divorce the two. Let us know how you feel about that. I'm going to go to Maggie. She is in Prince George's County. Maggie, jump in here.
Yes, I have a student in Prince George's County, Samuel Ogle Middle School, and we have had nonstop issues. We have tried to communicate with the principal of this school. She's not interested. She dumps any problems that she should deal with on lower staff. In fact, you know, we've tried to move our student because the teacher that he's with is no good. She belittles the students, calls them names, calls them stupid and dumb in the class in front of other students. We have tried to get the principal okay. to talk to the teacher.
Okay. Well, Maggie, let me jump in here. It sounds like the question that we're looking at is, where is the right level to place accountability? Aurelis, you know, where in Prince George's County is the right level, right, to place that? You have the school itself is answerable to the parents. The school system is answerable to the county. Is the governance right to make sure that the problem that Maggie is talking about doesn't surface?
Well, I'm going to go back to a point the Delegate Angel made, right? Prince George's has a $3 billion budget. 65% of that budget goes to the schools. And this issue of accountability and funding is exactly why County Executive Baker, or at least part of the reason why he moved to have the governance shift in Prince George's. So right now we have a hybrid Board of Education. Some are elected, some are appointed, and the county executive has control over who the superintendent is. He said he needed that level of control in order to so that the school systems would be more accountable because the buck would end with him. Now that we have this new governance, I think it's now 3 or 4 years that we've been under this governance. The question is it any better? It's like, does the buck really stop with County Executive Baker? Because mm-hmm. there have been multiple calls for Maxwell's resignation and whatnot. And is that the kind of governance that we're looking for? Or is that where it ends? I mean, on top of that, you have the school board. On top of that, you have lawmakers. I don't know what's appropriate, but I know that that was part of why he moved in that direction.
Aurelis Hernandez of The Washington Post. I think it's interesting to hear you talk about the county executive in Prince George's County. I think it's not an accident. We should keep that in the forefront of our minds. And on top of everything that we're talking about, Rushman Baker is, in fact, running for governor. He's the front leader in the Democratic yep. Party. Larry Hogan is up for re-election this year. None of these things are accidents, and we should not treat them as such. We're going to go to break, but I also want to hear from you out there. Should these issues be handled at the local level, or does the state, in fact, need to step in, as Larry Hogan is suggesting that the state needs to? We're going to continue with our conversation after a short break. Stay tuned. This is the Kodjo Namdi Show. Welcome back. You're listening to the Kodjo Namdi Show. I'm not Kodjo. My name is Brendan Greeley. I'm filling in for Kodjo. He is on vacation this week. Right now we're talking about Prince George's County Public Schools, Maryland State Public Schools, and whether they need an inspector general, as the governor has suggested this month. Aurelis Hernandez is a reporter for The Washington Post. She is with us here in the studio. We also have Delegate Angela Angel, a Democrat. She represents District 25 in Prince George's County. She's on the phone. We're going to go now to Stephen Hershkowitz. He's a representative from the Maryland State Education Association. Stephen, just a second ago before the break, we were talking about the state-level politics that are playing out in this decision to launch an inspector general. It does not feel like a complete accident. Governor Hogan is up for re-election. Rushman Baker, the county executive of Prince George's County, is the leading Democratic contender right now for this year. Are we actually talking about state-level politics when we talk about school politics right now?
Thanks, Brendan, for having me on. And I think you're exactly right that we need to view this in a political context. You have to keep in mind, going back to the beginning of Governor Hogan's record on education, that he has cut funding from the budget in each of the 3 years that he's released a budget, and we're going to hear his budget for this year tomorrow. But you have to keep in mind, $144 million cut in his first budget proposal. $68 million of that was never actually released to school systems after the legislature put it back in the budget. Another $25 million was withheld the next year, which he used as a bargaining chip for corporate welfare handouts to one corporation. And again, last year, he took money out for after-school programs and other funding for recruiting and retaining excellent teachers, the exact same budget cuts that Donald Trump made in his federal budget on education. And so now, as we see a new report coming out that was funded by the state that says that schools don't have anywhere near the funding they need to help every single student be successful in school. In fact, they're $2.9 billion short of what that number would be. He's worried as he runs for re-election that voters are going to hold him accountable for the lack of funding for schools and his budgets. And so it's no coincidence that in the two school systems, Prince George's County and in Baltimore City, that make up half of that underfunding from the state, that he is going after them with issues around an inspector general. I mean, this is straight out of the playbook that we would see from Betsy DeVos at the federal level of trying to shift blame onto the federal, onto a public school system in order to justify privatization agenda.
Well, let's talk about this at the county level. There are problems in the Prince George's County schools. Is the school system in Prince George's County capable of policing itself?
Well, I think in order to answer that question, we should actually look to Howard County and what happened with the mold issue that you brought up earlier in the program. When those mold issues were starting to crop up in certain schools and we had whistleblowers, both parents and educators, saying this is affecting the health of people who work in the schools, the students who are trying to learn in schools, the superintendent has to do something about it. And the superintendent wouldn't do anything about it. And the school board wouldn't hold that superintendent accountable to making changes and fixing the issues in schools. And in fact, there was such a lack of transparency that they had to go to the legislature and the governor and the Maryland State Department of Education to try and get action. And ultimately, they decided that they were going to vote in a new school board. And they did exactly that. They held house meetings out in the community, parents and educators working together to vote out incumbents that wouldn't take action. And now with a new school board in place, they got a new superintendent and they're starting to take action there. That can't happen in Prince George's County right now. Our educators there are frustrated because they don't have a fully elected school board. It's a hybrid of appointed members and elected members. And so they've been pushing for a fully elected school board so they can replicate the model that we saw, the Democratic model that we saw in Howard County, to hold their school leaders accountable.
And when we talk about governance, sometimes it feels difficult to even talk about, to even compare counties. Sometimes it feels difficult to even compare schools. You know, speaking as somebody who's, you know, we've moved from one public school to another in our own county, Anne Arundel. Our kids are in West Annapolis Elementary right now. And, you know, the differences between different schools and the way the PTA handles governance of the school, it's almost impossible to talk about the whole system as if there's a single problem or challenge. We're going to go to Rachel in Hyattsville. Rachel, you are from the Prince George's school system. Weigh in here.
So, I have a daughter who's in kindergarten and then also a husband who is a former PG County teacher. And I think that there are so many interlocking issues that have to be addressed in the county school system. And that the managers, the kind of middle manager level, are kind of part of the problem. We've had issues kind of getting things addressed at that level, and that it's just going to take a lot of time. And even if the county executive and the superintendent of schools are making changes, they're not going to happen at quite the pace that parents want to see change happen.
Rachel, thank you. I want to throw this question to Delegate Angela. Angel, she represents the 25th district in Prince George's County at the state legislature in Annapolis. Delegate, you know, sometimes it feels like in any county we're asking schools to solve problems that democracy should be solving. When we talk about problems in schools, are we really talking about something else?
Well, absolutely. Our schools are, it's just like, the Bible says that you can judge a vine by its fruit. You can judge a society, a county by its education system. You can judge it by its students. And so that being said, so our schools are the place where we're going to face all of the things that our society is dealing with. You know, our students are dealing with violence. Our students are dealing with poverty. Our students are dealing with, you know, parents that are stressed because we have, you know, in this DMV region, the highest, you know, the highest cost of living. And, you know, and so our students are dealing with all of those issues in our school system. So it's, you know, it's beholden of us to recognize that, and why you have things such as the community schools program that we push heavily and we're trying to make sure we expand funding for, so that our students can receive wraparound services and can address all of the issues. I myself last year passed a bill that's going to help to put counseling services in schools for students to receive ongoing counseling and therapy for the issues that they're dealing with, so they can learn how to become productive members of society. But I think, so what you're saying is it's to be expected that our schools mm-hmm. are responsive to all of the different issues of society. And in Prince George's County, that's one of the things that we're working for, is to make sure our schools are prepared and properly funded to have that, to be able to cover that responsibility.
Aurelis Hernandez covers Prince George's County for the Washington Post. Weigh in here. Can the school system fix things that that the county is addressing?
Well, I had a question for Delegate Angel. Within the example given with Howard County, that's waiting every 4 years to, you know, be accountable. I mean, do you think that in Prince George's County, which has this hybrid, that it should return to a fully elected board? Would that up the level of accountability? Because, you know, Prince George's tried that. They had issues. But, I mean, what do you think, Delegate Angel?
Right now, we're kind of looking at what is going to be the best program or the best plan, whether it's a hybrid, whether it's, you know, going back to fully elected. And we of course, have a bill that we're hearing about that, and we're going to hear from different members of the community to see, you know, what the thoughts are. Of course, you know, when it was fully elected, you know, there were complaints that we heard about the fact of whether or not, you know, all of the members of the school board, you know, had, you know, there were some concerns about their ability to manage the budget. And also, you know, people raised up the issue of that there are members of the school board that had no higher education. And so, you know, do you want someone that's, you know, that has, you know, at least a bachelor's or a higher degree, you know, to be over the school system? All of those things were things that we are trying to figure out and balance. And that was why I believe the hybrid system was kind of put in place, so that you have your electeds, but you also have some people who are supposed to be identified as experts in a certain area to bring that level of expertise to the table. But the question then becomes, what weight do the quote-unquote people who bring expertise to the table have in making the decisions to make sure that the people who are representative of the voters aren't, that their voice is not lost? And I think that's what really the balance that we're trying to strike.
I mean, it's fascinating. No matter what we're talking about here, we start with accountability versus funding, and ultimately what we end up talking about is democracy and governance. How do we make the decisions? How do we make sure that our counties are accountable to not just parents but also voters? I'm going to bring in somebody from another county to talk about this. A lot of counties in this state and a wide divergence in education outcomes among those counties. Janice in Montgomery County, jump in here.
Hi, yes. I'm Janice Sartucci with the Parents Coalition of Montgomery County. We've been around for 16 years as a watchdog group investigating waste, fraud, and abuse in Montgomery County public schools. Time and time again, we do uncover a misappropriation of funds, improprieties, but because our school system is an entity of the state with heavy local funding, the county says they can't do a financial audit, and the state legislature only authorizes financial audits every 6 years or so. It depends. And last year, the local counties tried to eliminate those audits altogether. So what we find is we can find misappropriation of funds or improper procurement, and then there is absolutely no oversight. The county says we can't touch it, and the state says we can't touch it. So at this point in time, we have no oversight. We can find waste, fraud, and abuse, but there is no one to step in and remedy the situation, correct the waste. And so tens of millions of dollars of public money that should be going to classrooms is going out the window.
Stephen Hershkowitz, jump in here. He's a representative from the Maryland State Education Association, but you just heard from Janice in Montgomery County. She is both a concerned and a very active parent, and what she's saying is that the problem with oversight is there are certain problems that fall into a hole right along the county line. What's your answer to her?
Well, I think the fact that there are only financial management audits from the Legislative Office of Audits every 6 years might be something that should be looked at. But I think it's important to understand that there's accountability change conversations going on right now with a new commission. And those audits every 6 years rule came from the last commission, the Thornton Commission on School Funding, that resulted in the Bridge to Excellence Act. That's the funding formula and a lot of the accountability pieces that go along with it. That resulted in the early 2000s, and all that is very outdated now. And that's why we have such a big funding gap in a lot of our school systems across the state. The Kerwin Commission is now the next generation of that, and they've been meeting for the last year or more talking about different ways that they can hold schools accountable to higher standards. And we've been a part of that conversation. There's conversations about a new independent entity that would make sure that school districts are implementing the recommendations of whatever comes out of that commission to make sure that management is correct, that they're doing everything they can to make sure that the money is getting to what the students need. And so I think that's a conversation that will be ongoing, and it needs more community input for sure.
Okay. Stephen Hershkowitz from the Maryland State Education Association, thank you. We also had Delegate Angela Angel. She's a Democrat representing the 25th District in Prince George's County. Aurelis Hernandez, you cover Prince George's County for the Washington Post. I'm going to give you the last word here. We have been talking about a statewide initiative from Governor Hogan. That was the impetus for this whole conversation. That's going to be passed by the Democratic legislature in Annapolis. So what is the future of getting this idea past Mike and Mike, the heads of the two bodies in Annapolis?
Yeah, Senator Mike Miller, Senate President, and Michael Bush. It's hard to say how much the democratically controlled legislature is going to let the governor have in an election year, where I think the recent poll shows that County Executive Baker was within like 10 points of Governor Hogan. He still remains highly popular. I don't know how much that's going to get into a final compromise, but we'll wait and see. I mean, we have 3 months of a legislative session, and we'll see what they come up with.
Okay, Aurelis Hernandez, thank you very much. This is the Kojo Namdi Show.
WAMU education coverage is supported in part by American Graduate, Let's Make It Happen, a public media initiative made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Thanks for listening to the Kojo Namdi Show, and if you're already a member of WAMU 88.5, thank you for your support. If not, it's easy to give online at wamu.org. Just click the donate button, and thanks.